Good evening. It's always good to learn the songs, and the first song, Being Thankful, fits very well with the lesson tonight. We're going to talk about a thankful heart. Open your Bible to Matthew 15. That's where we'll begin. You know, we need to start touching some greater depth of the Lord. All of us, I'm talking to me too. It's not excluding me. You know, we're thankful about things when things are going well. I mean, it's easy to be thankful. It's easy to talk about gratitude. And yet, when adversity hits, we're not very thankful. And it makes me realize that maybe we're not seeing the whole scope of who Jesus is. The nature of Jesus is thankfulness. When he walked on this earth, he was thankful. And so as we begin here, we're going to see what a thankful heart in our Lord, what it did. Look at verse 32 that was read moments ago. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the people, because they've remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. Why is Jesus feeling compassion for these people? I mean, all we're talking about is food. But if you'll start looking closely, you know, he feels compassion because they've been with him 3 days. They haven't had anything to eat. And he knows that's a problem. You know, one of the first things there in the verse we learn about Jesus is that Jesus is concerned when people are in a helpless position. He's concerned. And that's why he feels compassion for them. Now, let me ask you this. The disciples don't see it. But is Jesus aware that the people are without? Does he have awareness of the needs of the people that are around him? Absolutely. He knows that they're going to faint as they start going home because of a lack of food. Jesus is aware of people's needs every single moment. Verse 33, the disciples said to him, where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? Now, what do the disciples see? Well, they first didn't see the need of the people. They never even thought about people eating because it's a desolate place. There are no resources. The disciples start looking at resources. See, they see that there are no resources to draw from, and so it looks bleak, it looks helpless, it looks hopeless. Isn't that what we do whenever we're in troubles, whenever we have difficulties in our lives? Isn't it easy to focus on the helplessness of the situation? Isn't it easy to start focusing on the surroundings and what everything looks like? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to get this done? How are we going to do that? You know, we're driven more by our senses than we are by our faith. Because our senses, a lot of times, are stronger than faith. How are we going to get the resources in this bleak, this desolate place to such a large crowd? Look at verse 34. Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few small fish. Notice what Jesus asks, how many loaves do we have? You know who Jesus is? John 1 tells us that all things came into being through him and by him. Jesus created out of nothing. We're talking about Jesus the man. Jesus the man wasn't talking about nothing. He wanted to know what? What are our resources that are available? We've got seven loaves and a few small fish. That's what he focuses on. Verse 35. And he directed the people to sit on the ground. Now, something that always impresses me with Jesus is the order in which he does things. Jesus isn't a lot of times what people make him to be. He's not in this chaotic state of mind. He has everybody sit down. Let's have some order and some decency about us. Let's all sit down on the ground, verse 36. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Now, I want you to notice in verse 36, what did he do when he took the 7 loaves and fish? He gave thanks. What did he give thanks for? What he had. I have 7 loaves and a few fish. Let's give thanks to God. Why would you do that? You and I, the reason we miss so much, the reason we don't have a thankful heart, is that we're not thankful for what we do have. Listen to our children. Listen to the wants. Listen to the families. Listen to the adults. That when things aren't going well, they gripe and complain and nothing is ever right. And how are we going to get the resources for this? And hey, Jesus said, here's all I've got. Sit down, folks. Let's be thankful for what we have. And he gives thanks to God and he begins to break the bread. You know what he was revealing? What I do have is from the Lord. I do have something. It may not be much. And it may not look like it's going to go very far, but the one thing about it, I'm thankful. That's where we miss it. We're too busy griping and complaining about everything. We're too busy worried and fretful that how is this going to work and how is it, and we never give thanks for what we have. Let me ask you this. Think of the last time that you had a difficulty that you were facing. I mean a real difficulty, and you didn't know where the resources were going to come from, the help. Did you think about sitting down and giving thanks for the resources that you have? Most of us don't. No wonder we're not making very much progress. Jesus gives thanks. And in his thanks, all he's telling God is, I depend on you for all the resources. Look at verse 37. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over, the broken pieces, 7 large basketfuls. Where did they end up? Satisfied. And they ended up not only satisfied, but they ended up, he said, with more than when they began. 7 large basketfuls are what's left over. You know what we're learning? We're learning that God has the ability to help, number one. Number two, we're learning that you need to be thankful for what you do have and recognize that God is the provider and he is the giver of what I do have so he can bless me further for my needs. See, a lot of times we don't have a real thankful heart, do we? And so here Jesus, he just started off with a prayer of thankfulness. A sincere heart, and he left the blessing part up to God. Here I am. Verse 38. And those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. One quick note. The thankful heart of Jesus in giving thanks to his heavenly Father, look at the effect that it had on others. Thankfulness affects other people. Just like ungratefulness affects other people. There's a lot affected here. Come over, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You see, God wants us to have a thankful heart. And look at God's will. We talk about the will of God. We talk about what God wants for. Do we really want to do the will of God? 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 17. You've read it before, but we're going to look at it together, make a quick point, move on. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. What does God want from us? What's He looking for from you? From me? Pray without ceasing. Pray. You know what that is? That's an exercising of your faith. If you don't have any faith, you know what you're not going to do? You're not going to pray. You're sure not going to pray without ceasing. We're talking about an attitude of prayer. We're talking about a heart of prayer here. You know, you and I, we have access to God. We have access to God because of Jesus. What should we be doing? Should we be praying? Absolutely. You know, a lot of times, again, when we face difficulties, we face obstacles, our resources can be limited. What do we need to do? We need to pray without ceasing. Was Jesus in that very same boat where He was limited? Absolutely. Did Jesus have to face difficulties and obstacles? Does He understand what you go through? I mean, when Jesus went to the very night of His arrest and the trial He was about to face, what was He doing in the garden? Was He twiddling His thumbs, just waiting for it all to come down on Him? Or was He in prayer? See, does Jesus understand about our needs? Does Jesus understand about the compassion and help that you and I need? Well, if He understands that, then what does God want from us? Pray without ceasing. Look at verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's God's will? Pray without ceasing, and in everything, He said, give thanks. In everything. When things go well, what do we need to do? We need to pray without ceasing and give thanks. When things don't go well, what do? We complain. Where is God in that picture? In everything, give thanks. This is God's will for you and I. You know, whenever you complain, you know what? You're letting God know, number one, I don't believe you can meet any of my needs. Number two, you're letting Jesus know, I don't trust you to have any compassion on me. And number three, you let everybody else know how miserable you are and let me take my misery and dump it on you too. So we all of a sudden in the church, guess what? We start brewing. We start breeding all this unhappiness, griping and complaining. Where's God's will in that? It's not going to always go well, brethren. We know that. It's not going to always go smooth. But your heart of thankfulness is going to determine how God deals with you in your present condition. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is God's will for you. Why are you looking for God's purpose in your life when I've got it listed right here? See, if we quit trying to run out there and try to find something big and just start listening, Lord, Jesus was in the same boat. He understands what's going on. He now went to the Father. We can now pray to God through Him. We have Him as our intercessor. You think He's going to be concerned about our needs? Then pray. Be thankful. Come over, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 12. This is going to help us understand a little bit more of what God wants about being thankful in everything. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Notice what he says, work out your salvation. Wednesday night in our Bible class, we were in the study of 2 Timothy. And I asked the class a question. The question was this, do you really believe you're saved? Well, what's the answer is, well, yeah, I believe I'm saved. Do you really? If you believe you're saved, then you know what you'll do? That'll be the most cherished prize possession that you have on this earth. And if you know you're saved, what do you need to start doing? You need to start working that salvation, what that means in your life. You and I need to let that work out. If I don't have food, if I don't have clothing, if I don't have shelter, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to die. And you will too. But if I don't have food, if I don't have clothing, and I don't have shelter, and I die without Jesus, I am doomed. Jesus saved us. He brought us salvation, the greatest possession. Let the nuclear war begin. Blow up America, whatever comes to happen. But you know what? You and I have a salvation that no one on earth, nothing can rob or touch or take other than you. You let go of the faith. You let go of Jesus. You don't realize that you have salvation. Then what are you going to do with that? You need to work it out in your life. You need to let salvation be the most precious commodity, knowing that, you know, there's things in life may not be fair, there's things in life may not come good, but you know what? I've got salvation. I've got the greatest possession. Oh. See, we don't know how to be thankful because we're not real sure we're saved. And if you're not sure you're saved, how in the world are you going to pray without ceasing and be thankful in everything? See, being thankful in everything is part of working out your salvation. Why does he say that? Look at verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What do we need to realize by faith? Who's at work in you if you're saved? The devil? It's God who's at work where? In heaven, in you. It's God who is at work in you. What's he working for? To will and to work for his good pleasure. If God is at work in each one of us that are saved, then what should we be doing? If we lack resources, if you and I are on the cusp of needing things, I'm talking about needs, I'm talking about wanting things, our needs in our life need to be met. And God's at work in me. What? Pray without ceasing. You need to be thankful. That's what you need to do. Look at verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Do all things. You don't understand what I'm having to go through. Lord does. Lord's the one who saved you. The Lord's the one sitting right hand of God for you. And so you just need to let that salvation work out. You need to understand God's working in you. God's trying to bring you to completion. He's working everything out of the counsel of his will to make sure you have everything possible. And so guess what I want you to do? I want you to do all things without grumbling and disputing. Now, let me ask you this. Where does grumbling take you? Why do you think people get bad attitudes? Horrible day at work today. Horrible day. Oh, so-and-so came in. They just ruined my day. Really? Someone ruined your day? How can someone ruin your day unless you let them be your Lord? You think about that. Well, you know, they told me I smell. Sure, maybe I do. But it doesn't ruin my day. It still doesn't keep God from working in me, and I need to do all things without grumbling and complaining. Shouldn't you and I be thankful? If you start complaining, if you start grumbling about things, murmuring about things, you know what? Your life's headed down. You're letting go. Every time you grumble and complain, you're letting go of something out of your faith. And your physical senses are taking, they're getting stronger and stronger. Do you know what cost the nation of Israel their relationship with God? Grumbling and complaining. Number 16, you go back and read it. He destroyed them. because of their grumbling and complaining, because not a one of them were thankful. They griped and complained about the lack of food, the lack of water, you know, and then yet Moses has to remind the people, you've been in this wilderness 40 years, hasn't anybody ever thought, why did your clothes not wear out and your shoes never did go bad? Well, he never thought of that. It was God who was at work. And all you can do is gripe and complain. Yeah, but we didn't get any meat when we wanted. We sent quail every day, whatever you needed. Yeah, we got tired of that. Yeah, because you gripe and complain. You're not happy with anything. There is no thankfulness. There was no thankfulness in the nation of Israel, and they were destroyed because of it. Now, what do you think about you and I possessing a greater salvation? See, we need to be thankful. We need to do things without grumbling, without disputing. We need to pray without ceasing, and we need to give thanks in everything, even for the little things that you have. I don't know where I'm going to get the money to pay my bills, but I tell you what, I will be thankful to God for the money I do have to get me where I'm at, and I'll let Him take care of what I can't. That's called trust. Come over, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to close with this. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just show you another avenue of being thankful and having a thankful heart. Look at verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, the apostles, they came and they brought a teaching and preaching, and they brought to life the faith. Yeah, the Lord sent them out, told them to preach His word. They preached that word. They brought about the faith. Well, there are demons that we can't see. There are deceitful spirits that are out there. And you know what? They're bringing destructive doctrines. They're there. And there's going to be people in the body of Christ right here in the church that He says, you know what? They're going to fall away from the faith. You know why? They're starting to pay attention to the wrong things. Look at verse 2. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, to teach other doctrines, you have to have a seared conscience. I mean, to go and start teaching strange doctrines, doctrines that don't line up with the teachings of the Word of God, something is wrong. And so he calls them the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron. Verse 3. Here's what they do. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. You see, these doctrines of demons, these deceitful spirits, these men that have these conscience seared over, you know what they do? They encourage people to stay away from marriage. They encourage people to stay away from certain foods, abstaining from foods. I mean, it wasn't too long ago we came through a time in our nation where everybody was observing Lent, and you give up something. You know, we still have times where you Fridays you can't eat meats. You know, you got to eat fish, and I've always wondered if fish was a meat. I don't know, but to me it is. But you go through. Why are people coming up with all these ideas? Abstain. He says, abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. God created foods to be shared in. All foods. Now, if you believe the truth and you know the truth, you realize that's what God does. That's what God's created them all for. But there's those people who don't. In the Old Testament, there were food laws. Under the New Covenant, the New Testament, there are no food laws. And so here He tells us that we can share in them. God's design, He says, is to be gratefully shared in. You know what? Even the food you eat, you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful. Verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's to be received, if it's received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. Don't you reject it? What makes everything acceptable? What does he say? If it's received with gratitude. If you and I are the benefits of the things of God, from food to anything else, we need to have some gratitude to the Lord. And we need to be thankful for it. Because you see, what makes it sanctified, what makes it holy, what makes it okay, is the Word of God said it's okay. And prayer. You ever wonder why you pray at a meal? It's not a habit. Shouldn't be a habit. It's acknowledging God. What I have is from you, and I thank you for it. And I receive it with gratitude. Because I'm a believer. Because I know I have salvation. And my salvation means something to me. And I'm letting that work out in my life because I know you're at work in my life. I know you're trying to work everything to the counsel of your will. And I'm going to stop the griping and complaining. I'm going to give thanks in everything. I'm going to be devoted to prayer because a thankful heart keeps God where He watches over you and meets your needs. That is a guarantee. Jesus taught that about not letting your life getting bogged down with things. God knows your needs. The problem is we don't have a thankful heart at any time, you know, or a lot of times, so He can help us. We want to gripe and complain. And He says, you cut that stuff out. Unless you're an unbeliever. Now, you don't believe, then you go ahead and gripe and complain. You don't learn to give thanks in little things. Well, I tell you, as I was reading through all of this, sure made me realize how unthankful I am at times. I was talking this evening or this afternoon with Mike and Michelle Smith. Mike, you know, fell and broke his leg. Not just broke it, shattered it. And bones sticking sideways and sticking out. And anyway, he's got to have surgery on it this week. But anyway, talking to him, you know what he said? The Lord's trying to help me in something that I need in my faith. You know what I didn't hear from him? What a bummer of a summer. Man, I had plans to go do this. I had plans. Now I can't do anything. I got a broke leg. It's going to take me X amount. I didn't hear any of that from him. Now, I'm not trying to put him up on a pedestal, but that was the first thing I noticed. Talk about a thankful heart. Lord's trying to help me. There's something I need. I'll be thankful. You and I need to have a better thankful heart. Instead of griping and complaining when it's not going as good as we'd like. Lord will work it out. Lord will bless you. Lord can make an abundance. It all depends on one thing. A heart of thankfulness. And I pray we'll walk out of here tonight. I'm committed to have a better heart of thankfulness because it is God who is at work in me.